The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast belong solely to those expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the OSIF Foundation Incorporated or any other group or individual. This podcast may contain dialogue or subject material that could be considered for mature audiences only. All aspects of how you play the game and the OSIF Foundation Incorporated are protected by copyright and other state and federal intellectual property laws. Unauthorized use without the express written consent of the OSIF Foundation Incorporated is strictly prohibited. If you're interested in sponsoring How You Play the Game, please email us at podcast@osipfoundation.org. Your sponsorship may be tax deductible. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of How You Play the Game, the official podcast of the OSIF Foundation Incorporated. Excuse me. Oh wow, it's already off to a great start. Yours truly, Jack Furlong, with you as we talk about what's going on as far as the world of sportsmanship is concerned. This is the second episode of the month of April. The year is 2024. As always, check us out online at osipfoundation.org. You can contact the show using the email address podcast@osipfoundation.org. On social media, we are at facebook.com/osipfoundation, X formerly Twitter, and Instagram @osipfoundation, #howyouplaythegame. And I think that's everything I have to plug. It gets to a point where I just completely forget what else is going on in my life, and the fact that I'm actually upright and wearing clothing is a good thing. So I appreciate all the support that people have for me now that I'm not naked. Anywho, let's move on. We got a quick one for you today. Just a quick little tidbit that I wanted to pass along here. You know, we constantly, or frequently, I should say, look at different situations in sportsmanship and have to point out a lot of negative stuff. Well, something happened recently this week where it was reasonably positive, and I thought it was worth highlighting on our quick mid-month episode that we have here. So, excuse me. Wow, okay. You know, allergies, it's a thing. So, if you're not familiar with what's going on in the world of baseball, the number one prospect in the game right now is a young man named Jackson Holliday, and he is in the Orioles system. He is the son of Matt Holliday, who you may know as a slugger who played for teams like the Cardinals and the Rockies, and he had a brief stint with the Yankees. His son Jackson is now, I believe, around 20 years old. I'm not even sure if he's 21, but he was drafted right out of high school very, very recently. And he has shot up through the system that the Baltimore Orioles have in their minor league system. I actually got to see him play a little bit in spring training this year, and, you know, the kid's the real deal. Well, he was finally called up to the majors this week. And, you know, obviously when something like this happens, it's kind of a big deal. You know, a superstar in the making or a potential superstar in the making getting the call to the show is, you know, worthy of excitement and celebration. And, you know, that's basically, you know, how it's been going. Well, anyway, in order to bring Jackson Holliday up to the major leagues, the Orioles had to make a roster move in order to open up a spot. And what ended up happening was the Orioles decided to designate for assignment utility man Tony Kemp. Now, if you're not familiar with designation for assignment, or DFA, as we call it, to be DFA'd, or if they are DFAing, etc., essentially what that does is the team removes the player who is being DFA'd from their roster, the 26-man active roster and the 40-man roster, and they get 7 days to essentially decide what they want to do with that player. And usually what it is a situation where they either have 7 days to trade the player, send the player to the minor leagues, which the player can refuse if he goes unclaimed on waivers, or just release him. So essentially what happens is this player gets exposed to the other 29 teams for, you know, where a team can just claim them on waivers, which doesn't happen that often because in baseball, when you are cut, when you were released, when you were DFA'd, etc., 99.99% of the time, the contract is guaranteed. So a team that just claims a player like that will have to assume the entire salary. So it doesn't always make sense to do that depending upon what your financial situation is as a team. But, You know, so do they have a number of options? Do we try and trade this guy? Do we try and pass him through waivers and then send him to the minor leagues, which the player that can then refuse if he has a certain amount of service time, et cetera? Or do we just outright release the player? But it gives the team that 7-day period to figure out what to do. It's essentially losing your job is what it is. Now, the good news is that you continue to get paid for that salary, you know, so Kemp had signed a contract for this year, and he will continue to get that salary, whether it's prorated, whether there's a clause in it about being in the minor leagues, et cetera, is up to the terminology. But you know, when you get cut with a guaranteed salary, you know, you're going to get that money. So so we don't have to worry about that. But it's tough when a ball player loses their job, you know. It's a really tough thing. You're basically saying we don't need you anymore. And you may not have done anything to deserve it. But if you know, for anyone who has ever lost a job, that's it's a tough feeling. So anyway, when Kemp was DFA'd, he decided to go on Twitter, X now, formerly Twitter, and he posts the following thing. And I'm directly quoting a post on X from Tony Kemp, and it says, quote, "In the fall of 2010, our college had a series against the Longhorns for a 3-game set. Our hitting coach at the time was Josh Holiday, and his brother, Matt, brought his kid to our early practice. I remember watching his son, Jackson Holiday, with a sweet lefty swing. Go get him, kid." Think about that for a second. The guy who was just released, just cut, just fired, essentially, laid off is maybe might be a better way of looking at it, is wishing well the guy taking his job. It's an incredibly classy thing for Tony Kemp to do. And if you scroll through the replies to this post, it is nothing but positivity. Class act, absolute class act. What a way to handle the situation. All class. Best of luck. I hope you get a ring, you know, if we win it this year, kind of a thing. You know, all like this, you know, officially a Tony Kemp fan for life. These are all wonderful posts that basically are coming, you know, the gif of Derek Jeter's nephew taking off his respect hat is all over this post. This is, it's just a beautiful thing. You don't see this that often in baseball or in life in general. You know, there are a lot of things in life that really drive us nuts, and we don't always have the time to feel these things and express these things. You know, I'm sure we can all relate to situations where maybe we lost a job or we lost an opportunity and whatnot, and we didn't have the capability to wish the best person luck or the next person luck. You know, maybe that's financially motivated. You know, maybe it's something where if you lose a job and you're not sure where your next paycheck is going to be coming from where your next paycheck is coming, you know, it's not always easy to you know, tell the person who's replacing you good luck. You know, we're human beings, so it doesn't always happen that way. In this case, he was able to do it. Now, maybe he had the opportunity to realize that in this great game of baseball, he's got a good chance to catch on somewhere. You know, maybe he realizes, you know, okay, so my time with the Orioles is over, but there's going to be another major league team that needs me. Or maybe there's going to be a major league team that wants to send me to AAA or anything like that. There's going to be a lot of that. He knows that he's got a little bit of money coming his way. He knows he and his family are going to be okay financially. So maybe that's what fuels something like this. But regardless of the fuel, regardless of the justification, just a tip of the cap to Tony Kemp for realizing what was happening. You know, he's essentially becoming the answer to a trivia question. Who was DFA'd to make room for Jackson Holliday, who very well could be one of the next greatest superstars in the game of baseball? And if you, I'm just kind of scrolling through the responses still haven't seen anything negative. Just amazing. I got to the bottom here. Yeah. All just amazing. I'm looking at it right now. There are 523 replies. I didn't see a single negative one. That's pretty awesome. 1,900 retweets, 21,000 likes, 244 bookmarks. Just amazing. Just amazing. So I just hope that everyone can kind of take a moment to appreciate what Tony Kemp is experiencing and what he was able to do. And maybe we have the ability to kind of learn from that ourselves. You know, in terms of sportsmanship, finding the grace and the humility to at least publicly say, you know, good luck to the next person. Good luck to the next team. The team that won, the team that beat me, etc. It's not always easy. And sometimes it's downright difficult. And I would say that at the very, very least, you know, being able to stop and just keep our mouth shut is the right thing to do, as opposed to, you know, going on a tirade when we lose, you know, when we don't get our way. And Tony Kemp took this to a new level by really tipping the cap in the best way possible. So think about that. Think about the sportsmanship that was required to do that. And Tony Kemp, we really appreciate the example that you set when you said what you said. So that's it for today. It's a short one, as it always is in the mid-month episode now. We really appreciate you joining us for this quick little ditty. Be sure to check us out again in a couple of weeks when Sean is back with us. And as always, check us out at osafoundation.org. Before I forget, the second annual Black Tie Gala that we will be hosting on June 2nd. The tickets will go on sale very, very shortly. So be sure to take a look out, keep your eyes open for that. Should be able to get them at osafoundation.org. More information will be posted very, very soon, but the ticket sales are imminent. Contact the show, podcast@osafoundation.org, and as always, check us out at facebook.com/osafoundationx and Instagram at osafoundation, hashtag how you play the game. We appreciate you being with us. We'll talk to everybody in just a few short weeks, and until then, treat each other with respect. How You Play the Game is a production of the OSA Foundation, Incorporated. The producer-engineer of this episode is Sean Ryan. Music by SoundSpring Studio. The executive producer of How You Play the Game is Jack Furlong. For more information, visit osafoundation.org.